Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Binge the full season of Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption. Now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that flips through the pages of history to deliver old news in a new way. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're celebrating the creativity and persistence of Maya Angelou, a renowned Black author and poet who used her voice to educate, uplift, and inspire others to do the same. As a warning, today's episode includes discussion of sexual assault on a minor and may be disturbing for some listeners. The day was April 4th, 1928. Maya Angelou was born Marguerite Johnson in St. Louis, Missouri. She grew up to have one of the most varied and downright impressive careers in recent memory, receiving widespread acclaim as an author, poet, singer, dancer, playwright, journalist, producer, director, and civil rights activist, just to name a few. Angelou's many achievements are all the more significant in light of the trauma she faced as a child. Her parents had a tumultuous marriage, and when they split up when she was 3 years old, Angelou and her older brother Bailey were sent to live with their paternal grandmother in Stamps, Arkansas. It was around that time that Angelou's brother gave her the nickname Maya, based on his habit of calling her Maya's sister. She and Bailey attended school in Stamps, but they sometimes stayed at their mother's home in St. Louis on weekends or over the summer. It was on one such visit, when she was around 7 years old, that Angelou was sexually abused by her mother's boyfriend. She told her brother what had happened and was later called to testify against the man in court, ultimately leading to his conviction. In the end, he served only a single day in jail, but 4 days after his release, he was mysteriously killed, kicked to death, presumably by Angelou's uncles. Confused and traumatized, the young girl blamed herself for the man's death. As she later explained, quote, "I thought my voice killed him. I killed that man because I told his name. And then I thought I would never speak again because my voice would kill anyone." Angelou fell silent for the next 5 years, refusing to speak for fear of the power of her own tongue. But she found her voice again through literature. One of her middle school teachers, Mrs. Bertha Flowers, introduced her to the classic works of Charles Dickens, William Shakespeare, and Edgar Allan Poe, as well as to contemporary Black authors such as Langston Hughes, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Paul Laurence Dunbar. It was through these authors that Angelou realized the importance and power of the spoken word. She began writing essays and poetry, and with the help of Mrs. Flowers, she began to speak again, and went on to graduate at the top of her 8th grade class. From this somber beginning, a vibrant, passionate young woman emerged. At age 14, Angelou moved to Oakland, California with her mother and brother and began taking dance and drama courses at the California Labor School. 2 years later, she made history for the first of many times in her life by becoming San Francisco's first Black female streetcar conductor. She held the job for a few months to help her family make ends meet, but then went back to high school to finish out her senior year. Angelou graduated from Mission High School in the summer of 1944, and soon after, she gave birth to her only child, Guy Johnson. Her pregnancy was the result of a short-lived high school romance, and Angelou was left to raise her son on her own at age 16. Over the next few years, she worked a series of odd jobs to support herself and her son. She became a waitress, a fry cook, a mechanic's assistant, and a sex worker. But the job that was most in her wheelhouse was performing in nightclubs as a singer and dancer. It was during this period of struggle that Angelou met and married a white electrician named Tosh Angelos. She adopted a form of his surname and kept it throughout her life, even though the marriage itself ended in divorce in 1952. After their breakup, Angelou continued her study of dance in New York City and then returned to San Francisco to sing at the Purple Onion Cabaret. Her performances attracted the attention of talent scouts, and she was soon recruited as a cast member of a touring production of Porgy and Bess, an English-language opera by composer George Gershwin. The international tour broadened her worldview in a way she never thought possible, taking her to 22 different countries in Europe and Northern Africa over the span of just 2 years. After the tour wrapped up, Angelou continued singing professionally and even released a studio album of calypso music in 1957. Then, in 1959, she moved to New York City to focus on her writing and stage career. Angelou joined the Harlem Writers Guild and also became active in the civil rights movement. In 1960, she met with Martin Luther King Jr., and at his urging, she helped found the Cabaret for Freedom to raise money for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. The following year, Angelou moved to Egypt with her boyfriend and became an editor for the Arab Observer, one of the very few English-language news outlets in the Middle East at that time. After splitting from her boyfriend, Angelou and her son traveled to Ghana, where she took a job at the African Review and spent the next several years developing her writing style. When she returned to the U.S. in the late 1960s, she began working on what would ultimately become a 7-volume autobiography. In 1969, she published the first in the series, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Focusing on her early life, the poignant book chronicled the childhood trauma she had endured and the personal strength she had mustered to overcome it. The book made literary history as the first nonfiction bestseller by a Black woman, and it was nominated for the National Book Award. It's since been translated into more than a dozen languages and has sold over 1 million copies worldwide. After the release of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Angelou made the jump to Hollywood and broke new ground yet again. She penned the screenplay for the 1972 film Georgia, Georgia, becoming the first African-American woman in history to have a screenplay produced. Over the next 2 decades, Angelou continued to release more volumes of her autobiographies, including books about becoming a teenage mother, her world tour with Porgy and Bess, and her travels in West Africa. She also wrote numerous essay collections and poetry volumes during this time, including the Pulitzer Prize-nominated Just Give Me a Drink of Water, For I Die. Remarkably, Angelou somehow found the time to take on new creative challenges as well. In 1977, she showed off her acting skills in the acclaimed TV miniseries Roots, earning herself an Emmy nomination in the process. And in 1982, she began teaching a series of humanities courses at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. Some of the subjects she tackled included race, politics, and literature, and African culture and its impact on the U.S. Angelou never graduated college herself, but during her storied career, she was awarded more than 50 honorary degrees. Never one to rest on her laurels, she remained just as active throughout the 1990s. She continued to publish autobiographies and poetry collections, but also expanded her repertoire to include children's books and even cookbooks. In 1993, she helped revive the tradition of inaugural poems when President Bill Clinton asked her to write and deliver one for his first inauguration. That made her the first poet to read at a U.S. inauguration since 1961, when Robert Frost kicked off the practice at JFK's inauguration. The poem Angelou recited was called On the Pulse of Morning. Here's a clip.
History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon this day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream. Women, children, men, take it into the palms of your hands. Mold it into the shape of your most private need. Sculpt it into the image of your most public self.
Maya Angelou was in her mid-60s when she read at Clinton's inauguration, but she still had plenty more successes ahead of her. In 1995, she won a Grammy for a spoken word album of her poetry, which included On the Pulse of Morning. Then, in 1998, she made her directorial debut with the critically acclaimed film Down in the Delta. 2 years later, Angelou was awarded the National Medal of Arts by President Bill Clinton. And 2 years after that, she won her second Grammy, again for Best Spoken Word Album. The accolades continued well into her 80s, culminating in 2010, when President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor in the United States. It was a fitting capstone to an extraordinary life and career, but Angelou still wasn't done yet. In 2013, she published Mom and Me and Mom, the seventh and final book in her multi-volume autobiography. 1 year later, on May 29, 2014, Maya Angelou passed away in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the age of 86. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Binge the full season of Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption. Now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stage's podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes.
Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stage's podcast.
Subscribe to Stage's podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.